And welcome to Chief Among Friends. I'm your host, Dr. Chris Hobson. I'm the Chief Medical Officer at Orion Health. On this podcast, I chat about topics ranging from technology priorities to new innovations in integrated, coordinated care to healthcare sustainability. You can follow the conversation on hashtag Chief Among Friends and be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dr. Chris Hobson. Today, I'd like to continue the discussion we had last time with Chad Peterson on a topic that's on everyone's mind. We're not talking about COVID-19, of course. And that is the 21st Century Cures Act and the related rule making. Chad gave us some great insights into the nature of these requirements and the potential role to be played by HIEs. The rulemaking is the latest effort by CMS and ONC to advance the development and use of health IT for two very important purposes. One, patient access to their data, and two, interoperability. Today, I'm very interested to understand how technology companies could go about meeting the new requirements, especially given their technology is used in both the US and internationally, with similarly yet different mandates and requirements in each country. So now we turn our attention to the business of putting together technology solutions. I'm very excited to have my friend Chris Lucas with me here today. Chris is responsible for Orion's flagship Amadeus product and has over 16 years' experience with Orion Health. Chris is passionate about solving problems and adding value to healthcare using technology. He brings this enthusiasm to his role, where he is responsible for Orion's flagship product, Amadeus, and its related line of business, which includes the clinical portal, clinical data repository, API manager, notifications and terminology services, and several more components. Chris holds a Bachelor of Engineering with honors in computer systems engineering and is currently completing his EMBA. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
So, Chris, you're responsible for the development of interoperability and population health software that is used at many sites internationally. Can you tell me something about the breadth and depth of your and Orion's experience in this area?
Sure, Chris. Orion Health has always been about interoperability and integration, at the heart. Orion Health started with Symphonia messaging capability, which was a way for developers to be able to work through using flat file HL7 style messaging and validate it without necessarily having to build themselves all of the toolkits and capabilities and maintain those themselves. That came out more than 20 years ago now and was the foundation for Orion Health becoming Orion Health. Back in those days, it was orchestral developments. Time progressed along and some more opportunities arose, and we developed Clinical Portal. Back then, it was known as Concerto Medical Application Portal. And it was a way to be able to enable best-of-breed systems to come together into a singular view for clinicians to be able to review all of the patient's record and the applications that were associated with the patient and the information that would reside within them. And so it became a great way for hospitals to be able to bring their best-of-breed suites into something that was a lot more usable without all the challenges of needing to log into different systems, remember the patient's identifier, potentially go seek information in a system where it might not exist, and effectively enable a much faster, slicker workflow. And over time, that progressed and grew and gained some more flexibility, but always at its heart was about connecting different systems. A little after that, probably the early 2000s, or around the early 2000s, Rhapsody, now known as part of the Lineate company, was developed. And it was a means of being able to take that kind of messaging integration system to the next level. And so we started out with our knowledge of the Symphonia messaging end of things and the consumption of messaging that we had within our application suite, and grew that into a means to be able to really corral information and orchestrate information flows at an enterprise level. And so Rhapsody became, after a few years, became a class leader, or leader in class, I think is probably the way to put it. And so that that capability evolved and grew as well. And while we were doing that, you know, along the way, we were doing things like we're doing connectathons and working with different organizations to be able to make their systems work together. And time progressed, and perhaps a bit more recently, we had the likes of Fire emerging. And so I'll touch on this a little bit later, I think. But Orion Health has been interested in that Fire space ever since it pretty much emerged. And so with that, you know, we've been working through different ways to be able to bring information together and systems together. And it's not just about these products. It's also about that know-how that we have to be able to actually make these things work together. And so our experience is stretched right the way across the world. You know, we've done projects in the United Kingdom and Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, of course, Canada, the US, France. There are an awful lot of Orion Health solutions that are deployed around the world, and lots of different focuses as well, from the UK orientated integrated digital care records, the US health information exchange, national electronic health records, electronic health records that span provinces, RIOs, and so on. And so these are capabilities that that Orion Health has been working with, and products and so on that have been delivered over the last 20 plus years. So broadly speaking, we have a breadth of experience here, and have seen more than a few different kinds of systems, from the old green screen systems at one end of the spectrum through to nice new modern RESTful API driven technologies as well.
So that's a consistent emphasis on interoperability and integration that spans from the beginning of time almost to today. That's interesting. So, Chris, you touched on Fire, and certainly, you know, this whole story about Fire APIs, and they've become the bright, shiny object that everybody wants one of those. So I was interested, so what's Orion's background and experience with Fire, and how do you see that?
So we've a deep background with respect to Fire. We've been involved in specifying and building several versions of the standard, but also involved in deploying capabilities that adhere to the standard over the last 5 to 6 years. I was kind of curious about this and wondered how far our internal experience stretched. So we had a look at some of our internal systems and our solid efforts date back to the start of 2015, not long after the Fire DSTU release one draft standard for trial use came out. If you compare Fire with HL7v2, which is now so widely used, it took a long time for HL7v2 to really hit its straps. And now, you know, it's a key to so many different systems throughout the world, and it's a really great workhorse for solving problems in interoperability. HL7v2 came out in the early 90s and really started to hit its straps in the late 1990s and early 2000s. That was around the time that that we were actually working through building out Rhapsody, as we were touching on just before. What's really great about this is it's enabled a lot of consistency where in the past there'd been a lot of proprietary variations before. Now, it's really the mainstay of back-end communications. Interfaces connecting systems the world over. And this has allowed lots of different back-end systems to be able to talk, something that was a struggle beforehand. Mm-hmm. Now, 20-odd years later, we have different needs. Fire, on the other hand, allows a much wider array of technologies and approaches. So with Fire 4.0, with Fire 4.0 being normative, we'll see a lot more adoption. Vendors and health IT organizations can now target a version that has a lot of breadth and road testing under its belt. these normative parts won't be changing fundamentally, so they can be relied on for a longer life cycle. That's similar to that of HL7V2, and that, you know, adoption becomes the standard. And as I touched on earlier, because we've been on fire for a while now at Orion Health, we're now implementing, implementing more fire isn't a net new thing for Orion Health. We're working on bringing this to our stack at the moment, especially the 4.0 aspects. It's actually been in development here for a while now. And with this, we're aware that different situations exist. And in some cases, the information that is needed to be pushed down that that fire connection or that API might reside in a remote system that needs to be part of the equation. So to be able to support cases like this, we've built some tech that aggregates other information in real time to augment that information that's stored within our systems. And because of this, we have this great flexibility to our platform. We have some other tricks as well, but that one in particular, I think, is going to be very, very handy, especially when there are cases where information might reside in a repository that's outside of the health information exchanges or other systems remit, where they might need to reference something that's further afield. And so we have various teams working across the technologies together to be able to enable the breadth of APIs that are applicable, as well as the means to be able to access via gateways and operationalize them, and the things that need to happen to be able to really make the systems accessible and useful in the real world.
And that's got to be a key, doesn't it? Having something that actually works well in the real world. So are we just talking about fire APIs? Once we've built an API, can we just kind of stick it in, and what happens next?
Well, so I guess, you know, to your point, or perhaps the question that I hear here is, you know, is this really just about the fire APIs? And not. You know, there are other aspects that are necessary for adhering to compliance these days as well. Part of the requirement is a modification, or orientated around a modification of the CMS rule for condition of participation. And so this is really for the Medicare and Medicaid hospitals. It's much more orientated around the transmission of ADT messages, which are admit, discharge, transfer messages generated generally by the EHR or the patient administration system. And this is well within the wheelhouse of that HL7V2 messaging that I touched on earlier. And so part of the compliance that is necessary is being able to send a electronic notification when a patient presents at or is discharged from ED, as well as there are some other elements as well, but that's really probably the core aspect. And so the notification needs to make its way to the primary care provider, post-acute care services providers, or those that the patient has got an established care relationship with. And if the hospital can't identify care providers, then they kind of can't send a notification anywhere. Although, you know, this does come down to the hospital having a EHR in place. If the organization doesn't have an EHR, then that makes an electronic notification challenging as well. So in any case, our HIEs are already deployed with the notifications capability. Well, most of them are. And because of this, they're already enabled to handle this. And so these organizations, you know, if participants are already connected, then they've got a lot of the way there already. So our notifications capability can enable a lot more than just the ADT-based notifications. So if there is a desire to notify on labs, forwards, lab data, or otherwise, then, you know, this is within reach of the system. Some of this comes down to the other aspect of also having appropriate relationships established as well. And so the HIE is a good place to be able to contain a registry of whom is being cared for by whom. And so this is a good fit. Now, those organizations can potentially leverage this capability to be able to meet this rule.
Oh, that's excellent. So just thinking then, so with the US regulation, so CMS regulated payers are required to implement and maintain APIs to support patient access to the health information. So this is the patient access API. And we talked about this with Chad as well. So looking at this from a technical perspective, can you give us understanding of the issues that might be in play here in terms of setting up the patient access API?
Sure. So, you know, we've already touched on the high-level building blocks already. You know, you have to have the data in place. You have to have an API gateway that allows operationalization en masse. So this is important for handling matters such as rate limiting, which is a means to ensure that systems don't get swamped by perhaps the misbehaving queries or misbehaving systems. And then the other aspects of being able to provide insights as to the kind of ongoing usage and operation. And so this kind of area and the API manager kind of capability is really useful when your users aren't necessarily in a position to give you direct feedback on how things are going. Being able to understand error rates, when problems are occurring, when performance is perhaps headed the wrong direction is all really important to being able to keep this kind of capability available. And so, you know, that's perhaps more the back end side of things. Past here, we get to the interesting part. How does the patient get access to their data? A user needs to have credentials, right? Like a username and password. To get those, you have to have worked with the organization and gained access. So let's take a case where there's a patient portal in play. Patient portal through a clinician invite when you're visiting hospital, or maybe your primary care provider has worked through that with you. There might be other cases where perhaps there's a different way of signing up, or perhaps your state or region has some identity provider or mechanism in place where you already have some form of well-understood credentials that have been appropriately authenticated. You know, this works to get you in place where you have your credentials to access the patient portal. Now, the point of the ONC rule is to put the power in the hands of the patient, right? And so with these credentials now, you're in a spot where you have a means to be able to authenticate. Now, for example, Apple have enabled HealthKit to gain access to medical records via a user selecting their institution from a long list and then authenticating using those same credentials to get their hands on data. I think we'll start to see similar approaches, but leveraging the new FHIR 4.0.1 capability that's normative and required. Now, the existing approach that Apple have taken is dependent on the Argonauts DSTU2-based approach. And so this is how I see this kind of progressing. We'll start to see more apps, different kinds of capabilities, and, you know, the commoditization, I guess, of access to information. There could well be an awful lot of apps generated by an awful lot of different organizations that's perhaps a startup orientated, or perhaps the bigger players trying to make it easier to get access to, you know, access to their health systems. The interesting thing is the way in which when the data leaves the system, HIPAA and the kind of compliance around that no longer applies, but other privacy laws will. So this is similar to the way in which a patient handles a paper record now. So once the data has left the organization and it's in the user's hands, you know, the patient's really in charge, and they're going to be at least partially responsible for how it's handled, with the clear complication of the app developer in the mix as well. Now, ultimately, this all comes down to liberating health information. It's a quote lifted from the Dr. Don Rucker. The balance between the ease of access, ease of use, and privacy is really what this all comes down to. And putting the putting information into people's hands is really key for them to becoming, well, one, aware of their health situation, and two, being able to have someone help and advocate for them as they work their way through the health system. You know, and this could be quite an interesting prospect for HIEs, where, you know, they could come to handle some of these activities on behalf of varying participating organizations. And so while I don't live in the US, I do see the advantage of a consumer dealing with one system that's bringing all the data together for me. This, you know, this will be key to making life simple for being able to keep track of your information.
Excellent. So thanks so much for joining me today on Chief Among Friends. For more information, don't hesitate to contact me on Twitter at Dr. Chris Hobson, LinkedIn, or visit our website at www.orionhealth.com.